know that is the unique, one of a kind, an original creation of God. There's nobody else in the world that's ever like me, never has been, never will be. So I know that in that God had to plan me. Yesterday we looked at how unique that was, the relationship between a husband and wife. The sperm that leaves the male to the female carries 10 million possibilities for life. And look what he picked. That's exciting, folks. That's it. So everybody I look at, I can look at them with excitement. Because God picked every one of you in here. I didn't pick you. I'd have probably picked something else. You know? I'd have made y'all blonde. 36, 24, 36. Instead of a 44, 44, 44. But see, I didn't have nothing to do with it. I just happened to be in this mesh pot along right with you. Amen. So we are church. We are, I am church. Now listen to this again, because folks, this is where we're going to be digging all week. And we're going to dig up some stuff that will make you very uncomfortable. My church, my church, it is holy, it is Catholic, and it is apostolic. Amen. Yes. How many of you people here are holy? Raise your hand. Good Catholic group. You can tell right away when you get in a good Catholic group because they're like this. Only about four will raise their hand, and they'll go like this, and they'll look. I saw a couple of you go like this. Now listen to what the church is. And you've told me you're the church.
Yes.
And this is what the church is. And it can't be anything else. It is holy. It is Catholic. And it is apostolic. I don't care what you say, what you do. That's it. It's proven itself over the past 1,700 years. When the bishops got together in the Council of Nicaea and they declared each unique creation of God, the body of Christ, the baptized, the confirmed as holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Now you don't mind saying you're the church, but you have a hard time with holiness. Let me ask you this question. How many of you are working to become holy? Raise your hand. Oh, everybody's working. Brother Donald, when do you think you're going to get it? Looks to me like you ain't got too much longer to hang on here. And if we're going to wait till we get... I've had people say, I'll get it when I die. I said, You ain't the church no more. You have entered into the reality of the supernatural. Your church is going to be holy here. And if it ain't, you can't be church. And folks, that's our problem. I go all over the world, and the Catholics are sitting, I ain't holy. Well, I said, you ain't the church. The church is holy. Brother Donald, I'm going to pick on you again. Tell me what the word holy means. There's a definition for the word holy. Let me ask you this question first. Are you Catholic?
Yes.
How long have you been Catholic?
All my life.
All your life. If the most important part of his church, he's missed it all of his life. The most important part is him. And he can never do the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the living God, without him knowing that he's holy, Catholic, and apostolic. He can't do the work. All he can do is obey the law. Now, I don't have nothing against the law. Don't y'all pick on me. But here's the law. There's a holy day of obligation. I got to go get my card punched. And listen, while you're there, I know right now somebody say, well, Charlie, you walking off into some deep stuff now. Folks, I preach this to bishops.
Hey,
I do. And they sit there and just holler. Yeah, that's right. You know, you nailed us. You know, you got us. Yeah. Listen, I just had a bishop in Belize, Central America, open up the whole country for me. I went to every major city in the country preaching this. See, we've got to know who we are, or we'll never do the work of an evangelist.
Amen.
You never will. What does the word holy mean, Donald? The struggle is on. We've got to think up something now. Make it good. Back to Baltimore Catechism. Put it on me. Just tell me you don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. I got an 11-year-old granddaughter up here that knows. But now you be quiet. Let me ask some of these other folks. See, she's not going to go through her life knowing, not understanding what holy is. Isn't that wonderful? What does the word holy mean, sister? Okay, now, listen, I've asked three Catholics what it meant, and I got three different answers. That's where we are in our faith. We're not unified. We don't understand, and that's the reason we're broke up into little groups. Every little group's got his own little thing going. We have the charismatic community going on. We got the marriage encounter. We got word, share the word on Wednesday night. We got all these little groups going on. Nobody knows what's happening. But we're going to do our little thing. We got the Knights of Columbus. We got the Legion of Mary. We got Marriage Encounter. We got Crucio. We got all these things going on, and nothing's working. In fact, we're even angry at one another. Can you imagine going to heaven and setting the same thing that we got up down here up there? I mean, I don't want to go. I mean, y'all can have it. And you know, listen to this. God said for us to pray that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We're going to get it on down here, folks, or we're not going to get to heaven.
Amen.
We're going to put it together down here. We're going to live it like that down here, or we're not going to go up there and screw it up. Just not. You know, He's going to let you in to mess it up. He won't let you in there to take charge of it and to show Him how to run it. He just ain't going to do it. We're going to have to lose our responsibility in all the things that we're in charge of. And folks, that's the toughest thing you'll ever do. Because we've been educated to the hilt to take charge. Amen. Okay, for time's sake, let me just... Anointed. That's not what holy means. That's not what it means either. That's not what it means either. Pardon? That's not what it means either. Y'all see how screwed up we are? I bet y'all thought y'all were holy this morning singing. Oh, we worship. But see, if we don't know what we are, how in the world are we ever going to go out and teach the world who they are? That's the reason we don't talk about it. We don't know nothing about it. We keep it right. We'll say it on Sunday. I believe one God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. And that's as far as we'll go with it. Somebody asks you, what do you believe? You say, I'm Catholic.
Yes, that's true.
Well, what's that? I don't know, but that's what I am. I went into a hospital one day, and I was just going from room to room praying with people, and I walked in this one room. I said, brother, you mind if I say a prayer with you? He said, no, I'm Catholic. I said, can you tell me what that means? And this guy, the next day, he was dead. I asked him, I said, because I checked the room back. He was gone. The bed was empty. So when the bed's empty, that means they checked out. So I asked him, I said, well, can you tell me what, I'm Catholic, would you tell me what Catholic means? Well, I don't know what it means, but I'm Catholic. The guy was 80 years old. Didn't have no idea what he believed. Folks, that's frightening. That's what we call the blind leading the blind. And we all fall in a ditch. You see, if we are Catholic, then our responsibility is to convert the world, especially this generation.
Amen.
And we don't know how to convert anybody. And you're going to have to believe what you believe and live what you believe to be convincing enough to get somebody else to try it. That's reading I holler a lot. I believe what I'm doing, folks. I believe it with all of my heart. I convinced a lot of people. The word holy means to be set apart. Now, Donald, what we've tried to do, and the reason that we say we're working for it, we really have tried to set ourselves apart. We prayed the rosary. We said novenas. We've tried and tried and tried, and we still haven't made it. About every time I ever got to the point that I think I'm really getting it, I do something, slip and fall, it'd all be over. I had no idea that the word holy means to be set apart, and that God had chose me through that miraculous thing called conception into a womb of a woman and allowed me to have life. It was in that that he set me apart. The whole world's been set apart. Many are called, few are chosen. Only those that answer the call are those that are chosen. You have to answer the call. You have to answer to your holiness. God sets you apart. You belong to God. Then you are called to be holy. You're called to be apart. You're called to do the work of Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And what does the word Catholic mean? You mean those people across the street are Catholic too? When are we going to start treating them like they're Catholic? Them are Baptists. No, they're not. They're Catholic. According to our faith, we're not going by what they believe. We're going by what we believe. Amen.
Amen.
I don't let somebody else's system interfere with what I believe because I'm convinced this is true. Folks, this has proven itself. Thank God for the tradition of this church. Thank God for the bishops and all the people that have allowed this to come down to me today to where I can look at and say, oh, this is what I believe. This is it. Our biggest problem is we don't know how to come together. We don't know how to drop our pride, our laws, that we've built fences to where we keep people out.
Yes, amen.
God's not built no fences to keep people out of heaven, so why should we build them down here?
Amen.
Think about it. So we believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. What do we mean by the word apostolic? I'm not going to ask Megan. She's only 11 years old. Because she knows. Yes, sir? Okay. Now, these people right across the street will tell you the same thing. Church founded on the apostles. That ain't really telling me a whole lot. I want to know what the apostles did. Because... Well, what Jimmy Swaggart spreads the word, and I don't like the word he's spreading. I don't. I never have been able to really listen to the guy because he just preaches a message that I just never have been able to accept. And he preaches Jesus. He preaches all of this stuff. But, folks, I want to know what it is that we have. I'm a church. I want to know what makes me an apostolic church. What is the very first thing that you know about me that you can identify that I'm apostolic? And I want to hear it because we won't go nowhere without this. Well, I'm going to tell you, Saddam Hussein thinks he's following God this morning. There's a difference. What is it, the one thing that I have? Not the Eucharist. A lot of people are taking the Eucharist and going to bust hell wide open. You know, St. Paul said, not many of you have discerned the body and the blood, and you're sick, and a lot of you have already died. Not taking the body and the blood properly. Full of anxiety, fear, depression, eat up with all kind of stuff. Because we've not discerned the body of Christ. We've not discerned the Eucharist. When we get into what the true apostolic church is, then you'll know what the Eucharist is. Then we won't eat it the way it'll condemn us. See, if we're not living Jesus, the life that he lived, you eat the Eucharist, you're condemning yourself. You're blaspheming. And our church ain't even told us that. So for you to identify me as an apostolic church, what must you know me by more than anything else? The love that I have for the body. Now that's the whole body. It's the love that I have for all people. It's the love that I have because God, who is the Father, made every living human being on this earth. And the first thing that you will identify me with is that I love everybody. The love that I have in my heart for all people comes from what I believe, not what I feel, not what I've been educated into, but a decision to operate on what I believe. I believe in one God. He is the Father. He's the Father of all human flesh, and He created every living human being out of His love and compassion and mercy and grace, and in that I take the apostolic activities. For Jesus said, the only way you will know my apostles, my disciples, is by what? Their love for one another. Folks, love has got to be the key. That love is the word that calls for sacrifice. It is, the word in the Greek is agape, agape. You'll be hearing a lot about that word this week. It means to suffer without retaliation. I don't go around beating up on people, getting my own way. I surrender and serve everybody. I'm no longer prejudiced. I'm no longer angry at anybody because I didn't make nothing. God made everything according to this. According to my faith, all things were made through Him. So He made it, and I'm not angry at it no more. I'm not angry at what God's made. And so my commitment is to love you whether you deserve it or not, whether you've done anything to get it or not. I don't look for people that do things to love them. I love people whether they do anything or not. And the thing that will heal your family quicker than anything else is to begin to love them without putting a price on it. I'll love you if you empty the garbage. Or I'll give you, if you don't make A's in school, I'm going to take your car away from you. That's not love. That's coercion. I'll beat the hell out of you and make you fearful of me if you don't do what I want you to do. That's not the kind of love God brought. God, the kind of love that He brought says, I'll die for you. I'll come to serve you. I'll come to forgive you. I've come to establish you into a holy relationship with the world, a set-apart relationship, a loving relationship, one that where you can suffer. I don't care what anybody does, it's okay. You just keep yourself straight. I can't change nobody but me. You know I can't change you. And I'm not even trying. These words I'm preaching up here, I got to hear it every day or I won't live it. So I'm preaching to me. God just gives me an opportunity to a whole bunch of people come to hear me preach to me. Y'all can get in on it if you want to. If you don't have to get in on it. It don't matter to me whether you get into it or not. I'm going to love you anyhow. Isn't that wonderful? A lot of people say, oh, I'd love my husband if he got into this. I said, no, you wouldn't. If you can't love him like he is, how are you going to love him when he gets in? I started loving my children 14 years ago when I experienced what God had done for me. And that's what it is to be born of the Spirit, is to experience what He did for me. You know, He forgave me my sins, all of them. You know, the minute He forgave me, it delivered me from all the trash I was in. So you know what I do to my kids? I forgive them before they make a mistake. And if they make a mistake, I cover it with love. Love suffers without retaliating. I never bring it up to their face. That causes me to suffer a little bit inside. But the suffering is nothing compared to the joy I get when they see, when I see God take the Holy Spirit and begin to straighten them out. Let me give you an example. I had a son. When I had my experience with God, I gave away everything I owned. All my millions, restaurants, everything. Properties, house, cars. I totally abandoned myself, and one son was so mad at me, he took off and didn't talk to me for 8 years. And every time I'd see him, pass him in the street or something, I'd go, he'd go like this. I mean, he just, just hated me. Because, you see, he had worked all of his life in that restaurant, and he said that was part of his. I gave away his inheritance. So 8 years, what this little guy did, he snuck around. The thing that he was impressed with that got his attention right away is that I fell in love with his mother. Now that got him. I treated her with kindness and generosity. I didn't holler and scream at her. I began to ask her, what would you like? And is there anything I can help you with today? And that just overwhelmed me. So before he actually left the house, the thing that he realized first was that I had a wonderful relationship with my wife. Wherever I went, my wife was with me. And so but he was still so angry, so when he left, he began to sneak around to hear what we had to say. You wouldn't know he was there. He'd snitch tapes. Oh, 5 minutes. Well, we get through this thing. 8 years later, he was sitting in a bar. He had a job making $36,000 a year, sitting in the bar with his friend, drinking drinks, and his friend said, you know, Craig, he said, if I'd have had a gun last night, I would have blown my brains out. Now, both of these guys had nice apartments. They had these 280XZs, super sports cars. You know, they just had whatever they wanted, a different girl every night. Good-looking guys, 25 years old, just full of it. And sitting there on the bar stool with his drink, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to him, if your friend takes his life, his blood is going to be on your head because you know the answer. You know what he needs. See, I would have never been able to tell him that. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, if you will begin to live the words that Jesus spoke, the Holy Spirit will have his way. That's the reason Jesus said, when the head of the house comes, the whole family comes. The head is a member of the family that will take the responsibility for taking blame. Can be your granddaughter. She could be the head if she'll just start taking the fault. And I'm going to tell you, this little kid's had to take a lot of fault. Take the blame. I'll take the blame. Didn't God take my blame? That's what the head of the house does. So anybody can be head of the house. Little old grandma that'll take all the blame for everything going on and just praise God. She's the head of the house. 3 o'clock that morning, half drunk, he come running in my room. I'm still asleep. Daddy, Daddy. On his knees by my bed, he said, I've decided to give my life to Jesus. I said, praise God. And run over and roll back to sleep. But see, I'd been, I wasn't surprised at all. I didn't care how long it took God to get him in. I was loving him like he was already in. I had faith that he was coming in 8 years before he ever got there. Didn't bother me at all. In fact, the next morning he said, aren't you excited that I'm in? I said, I was excited about you 8 years ago. Still excited about you. I loved you as much when you weren't saved as you are when you are. I said, how am I going? I said, I can't change anymore to you. I said, I love you just like you are. And always have. He said, oh. And then he said, what do you want me to do? He ain't asked me that, man, never. And I don't know why out of my mouth I said, learn to fly. You know, that kid flew with me in an airplane, flew me. I first learned to fly, and I flew myself for 6 years. And all of a sudden, he jumped in that little old airplane and started flying me wherever I went, listening to my preaching. Now, he'd sit in the back and listen. Every instructor he gets, they usually wind up at my house. Looking for Jesus. Amen. Holy, Catholic, and Apostolic. The apostolic activity, now the apostolic gift is a gift of love. The activity that we're going to get into, the apostolic activity, is this, according to the bishop, the gift of preaching with wisdom. It's a gift. You know God's given me that gift? That's the reason we don't charge for it. I can't charge for a free gift. This gift that I have is free. God gave it to me. I woke up one morning preaching, and my wife said, "You're a preacher." I said, "I'm not." She said, "Yes, you are." She said, "You're a preacher, and I know you're a preacher." I said, "How do you know I'm a preacher?" She said, "Because you're preaching at me." And I said, "We don't have preachers in the Catholic Church." She said, "Well, we do now." So when you get a hold of this thing, you'll start preaching. The apostolic activities, preaching with wisdom, knowledge, healing, faith, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, the interpretation of tongues. These are the activities that I operate in because I have love for the body. If you love the body, you'll preach the word. If you love the body, you'll heal the sick. If you love the body, you'll stay in tune with God by praying in tongues. If you love the body, you'll perform miracles. And the greatest miracle you can have, and we've already seen them happening around here, is to have a change of heart and a change of mind. People hanging all around here, just going, ah. They were repenting in their heart for things that they had heard during the day that softened that old hard heart, made it pliable to where we can begin to reach out and love one another. Even to the point of having it rejected. It takes grace to love someone that will reject it. We'll see y'all tomorrow morning.